Our reading for September 14th is coming from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women, who have labored side by side with me in the gospel with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed in concern for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. For I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We left off yesterday from chapter 3, talking about pressing on or straining toward the eternal life that has been promised to us and working toward that. The idea of working out our salvation. In chapter 4, he starts with therefore, so he builds upon that, and he says, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. Now, that's implied in straining for that goal, but he states it anyway. Because you want to receive that, because you want to get to that goal, you've got to stand firm today and indeed every day. He throws in verse 2, these women that need to agree in the Lord. And he points out that in the past, they have labored side by side with him in the gospel. They were helpers to him. And he'd like to see them be side by side again so that they can be fruitful. He says to rejoice, to let their reasonableness be known to everyone. And then he says, don't be anxious about anything. That's kind of tough, especially in our society today. I don't know exactly what day-to-day anxieties were on the minds of the first century Christians, but I know that today it's pretty tough to turn on the radio or turn on the TV and not hear about something that makes us anxious. And for him to say, don't be anxious about anything, that's a big undertaking. But I go back to Jesus telling us, don't worry, don't be anxious. And through our anxiety, we can't fix anything. And you know, we just need to focus on today and trust the Lord. And then when tomorrow comes, we'll focus on that day and we'll trust the Lord then too. And he says that in order to overcome this anxiety, you need to engage in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be known to God. If you believe that prayer is powerful, then you would be taking advantage of that avenue. So when we say the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, well, it's going to come through that avenue of prayer. It's going to come through that trust. It's going to come through letting go of those anxieties. And it's going to come through standing firm in the Lord. Verse 8, these things that are true, honorable, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. He says, think about these things. Instead of putting your minds on the things that will make you anxious, put your mind on the things that will truly benefit us, that will truly help us in our daily lives. And there is so much that we can focus on. Those spiritual things of God, those blessings that He's provided to us, the relationships that we have in Christ. These are all things that are pure and lovely and commendable, worthy of praise. And then he says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Those things according to the gospel, those things that are part of the Christian life, those things that have to do with being true disciples of Christ. Practice those things, and God would be with you. Now he mentions in verse 10 that they had some concern for him and that they had provided for him. And he says, it's not that I've been in need, but because I have learned to be content with all that I have and what he's, you know, in experiencing in whatever those cases were. And remember, Paul talks about times in which he was in great danger from people and robbers and travels and everything else. Yet he says, I have learned to be content. He goes on to say, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He always trusts and relies on God, no matter what situation he's in. And there's a lesson for us in that. You know, it's not that we don't look for opportunities to rectify our situation, but it's that our ultimate trust is in God, not in self, not in our government, not in other people. It's in God, and we trust His providence to work for us and open doors for us for opportunities to, provide for whatever those needs might be. Now, sometimes we think that wants are needs, and we may get that confused, but His point is we can be content, and we can have what we need. He comes back around to them helping him in verse 14. It was kind of you to share my trouble. Or you might be reading from a version that says, have fellowship in. So they were taking part in his trouble, but not because it was trouble, but because they're supporting the work that he's doing, that they're helping him in that work. Verse 15, in the beginning of the gospel, when he left Macedonia, he said, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So they value his work so highly that when no one else was helping, they were. And he's especially thankful for that. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me for help for my needs once and again. He says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. In other words, he's not thinking of it in terms of, well, I want support from them. But he's thinking in terms of the value they're placing on his work and the fruit that has been produced because of his work. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Understand that when you support the work that God has given us to do on this earth, through the contribution that you give to the local church, or in some other direct means, when you're supporting the work, you are making a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. It's too easy to put all of our wants and our desires ahead of the work of the Lord, and then what goes in the collection plate on Sunday morning is what little we might have left. Or maybe you might decide, well, you know, we had pizza last night. We went out for pizza, so I don't have anything left. I'm out of cash. So I don't have anything. Sacrifice was something you set apart ahead of time. You know, that's why it was the first fruits of their harvest, or the first fruits, first uh, animal that was to be born, that was the one that went to the Lord. Our gifts for God must come first. And so he says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God's looking out for them because they are doing the will of the Lord. Then he leaves with, you know, some final thoughts. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. And that's a general feeling that they have for each other. But notice this last part. He says, especially those of Caesar's household. Remember, we started off talking in the book of Philippians how he wanted to comfort them by saying in chapter 1 and verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And then he says here, the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. So we can put two and two together and know that even those that were what would be counted as Caesar's household not only knew why he was in prison, but they listened to what he had to say, and now they were brothers with him. They were brethren. And then he ends with, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That is comfort, that is providence, that is salvation. Thank you for listening today. Tomorrow, come back for another reading. We are going to start the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we're starting to get to the end of Paul's writings now. We're going to have 1 Timothy, then Titus, and then 2 Timothy, and then we'll be done with Paul's epistles. Again, come back tomorrow for that. But in the meantime, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.